Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Tonight's Attorney General takes on lawyer for Speaker of Parliament for suggesting there is no order directed at a speaker, accusing him of engaging in unnecessary artificial technicalities.
And that is quite clear. I mean, I think that we must stop this unnecessary resort to some ill-founded or artificial technicality. This clear artificial technicality, it doesn't arise at all.
We have details as he takes on Justice Amadou Tanko, who dissented in the case as taking a narrow view of the Constitution.
As far as I'm concerned, his reasoning was faulty. His reasoning was just based on a very narrow and simplistic view of the Constitution, because he failed to answer the fundamental question whether an issue requiring the interpretation of the Supreme Court had arisen for the acceptance of the matter.
So what happens now? How does the majority in Parliament intend to enforce the judgment of the highest court of the land? We speak to those with answers. Yeah, on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, Attorney General Godfred Yeboah Adame is taking on lawyer for Speaker of Parliament Thaddeus Sory, who has claimed that the judgment of the Supreme Court in the seat vacancy matter did not order that Parliament recognizes the four MPs at the heart of this case. The court on Tuesday, by a 5-2 decision, interpreted Article 97(1)(g) and H and said that an MP is deemed to have vacated his seat if he changes their political affiliation and continue to serve in Parliament under a new party identity. The court, however, did not make any specific orders directed at the Speaker. But Godfred Adame says the judgment of the court is sufficiently clear on what should happen next. He spoke to MFR Powell on the Midday News.
A specific relief sought by a party and to the matter, and those reliefs were upheld by the court. If you look at page 36 of the judgment of the majority, that is the one authored by Justice Dakwa Sari, he made it quite clear that in light of all the preceding discussions, this court determines that the plaintiff's suit succeeds. And then he proceeds to say, in the result, this court grants the plaintiff the reliefs 1, A, B, and C, and makes the following further order: an order declaring the interpretation placed on Article 97, Clause 1, paragraphs J and H, as inconsistent with the true meaning and import of Article 97, Clause 1, paragraphs J and H of the Constitution. So clearly, the orders were made. And so we only have to look at the relief sought by the plaintiffs, the plaintiff's relief 1, which was granted in its entirety. What's in these terms? A declaration that upon the true and proper interpretation of the 1992 Constitution, the light of Articles 2, 1, and all the other provisions that he states. A, the final of nomination of Honorable Andrew Esama Amwako, the current independent member of Parliament for Formula Constituency in the Asante region, with the Electoral Commission to contest the Formula parliamentary seat on the ticket of the MPP in the next or ninth Parliamentary Republic of Ghana, does not amount to vacation of his seat as member of Parliament. in the current 8th Parliament of the Republic of Ghana as an independent party to join the party. Then he repeats the same for Honorable Cynthia Morrison and Honorable Kojo Asante. Mm-hmm. So at least, in respect of these three members of Parliament, three distinct orders were made by the Supreme Court to the effect that the change of their political, or the anticipated change of their political identity for the 9th Parliament or the elections, which will occur in December 2024, does not amount to a vacation of their seat. What does it mean? It means that they have not vacated their seat, and they still hold on to their seats as members of Parliament. And that is quite clear. I mean, I think that we must stop this unnecessary resort to some unfounded or artificial technicality. This clear artificial technicality, it doesn't arise at all.
Okay, so
look at Article 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, based on which the Supreme Court made these orders. Mm-hmm. It says the court is the one vested with the sole and exclusive jurisdiction to interpret the Constitution and, of course, declare any act or omission on the part of a person as unconstitutional, and that the Supreme Court shall, for the purpose of declaration, make such orders and give such declaration. And such a declaration has been made. Such orders have been made by the court clearly.
So you insist that the Apex Court gave effect to its orders, but is it executable? Is the question?
Why not? I mean, so if the court makes an order that A, B, or C persons have not vacated their seats, what does it mean? Does it mean that they are still members of Parliament? Yes, they are still members of Parliament, and that is the whole import, the hope of the exercise that is taken by the Supreme Court. So I think that we must stop this unnecessary attempt to resort to some artificial technicality and say that there has not been order made by the court. I mean, it's there in plain black and white.
So it's executable, but who is vested with the powers to execute this, as you're saying? You say it's executable. Who is supposed to do that?
So after the Supreme Court has stated that ex-member of Parliament is still an MP and has not vacated his seat, what does the person have to do? The person has to just walk into Parliament and go and sit and take his seat. And if there's an attempt to prevent that, that will then amount to a violation of the Supreme Court ruling.
Well, Godfrey Damin has also been taking on Justice Amadou Tanko, one of the two judges who dissented. Justice Amadou Tanko accused the majority of the court as usurping the jurisdiction of the High Court, where he says the case should have started and not the Supreme Court. Justice Amadou, in a scathing dissent, cut through the judgment of his colleagues, describing it an aberration of the known rules of the Supreme Court, and said he hoped it is reversed soon. But the Attorney General says Justice Tanko had a narrow view of the Constitution.
As far as I'm concerned, his reasoning was faulty. His reasoning was just based on a very narrow and simplistic view of the Constitution.
Really?
Because he failed to even answer the fundamental question whether an issue had arisen in the matter or an issue had arisen in the circumstances of the case.
He's talking about the constitutional prerogative of the High Court.
Mm-hmm. He failed to answer the fundamental question whether an issue requiring the interpretation of the Supreme Court had arisen for the circumstances of the matter. Mm-hmm. The only basis on which the court may invoke its interpretive jurisdiction is when an issue requiring interpretation of the Supreme Court had arisen. So he failed to determine that clearly from the facts before the court or from the words of Article 97, Clause 1, G, and H, it required interpretation. All he resorted to was to refer to Article 99 and say that the High Court had been given jurisdiction to declare a vacancy or to determine matters borne on vacancy. But I make the point that it still does not oust the Supreme Court's jurisdiction to interpret the Constitution at all. Even in the case of fundamental human rights, where the High Court has been given clear power to enforce fundamental human rights, okay, if a matter bordering on interpretation of provision in the fundamental human rights chapter of the Constitution has arisen, it's still the duty of the Supreme Court to interpret. And we have seen that not today. We saw that in 2007 when Nana Ejiampofu took the matter bordering on the Federal of Fundamental Human Rights to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court has stated its position in the matter. It was a judgment by Sufia Kufu, JACC, as it then was, if I remember. And the Supreme Court made it clear that, yes, notwithstanding the fact that the matter bordered on fundamental human rights, insofar as it related to an interpretation of a provision of the Constitution, it is still the exclusive preserve of the Supreme Court to do so.
Now, remember this particular matter came about as a result of the Speaker of Parliament giving a critical information on the floor during which he sought to, you know, give meaning to Article 97.1 and 1G and H, where he then further said by the act of some four MPs to contest in the next election as members of Parliament, other than the ticket on which they were brought to Parliament, they have vacated their seat. Now, the question is, will these people be brought back to the House? Former director of the Ghana School of Law, Kwekwansa Asare, believes the four members of parliament whose seats were declared vacant cannot be admitted back into the House due to the court's failure to give consequential orders. He spoke to MFA Powell on Media News.
Sorry. So you've been hearing the Attorney General also on this matter, but on the issue about whether the four MPs would have to go to parliament or not and whether the Supreme Court actually gave orders, what are your view on that?
They are not going anywhere. The speaker's communication is enough to keep them home. Now, let me take this opportunity to remind the Honorable Attorney General that the majority never ever made any order. No order whatsoever. Now, in any case, if the Attorney General will agree with me, which I believe you, the majority was quick to point out that there was no cause of action in the first place.
Okay.
If there was no reasonable cause of action, how could the same majority make consequential orders? Indeed, they did not even bother to refer to Article 2, Clause 2,
okay,
which will give them the power to make the consequential orders that the Attorney General is alluding to. They don't exist.
So that was Kwekwansa Asare. He is a former director of the Ghana School of Law. But what exactly, does the ruling mean for the chances of these four MPs? Let's bring in private legal practitioner Samson Ladi Ayanini to help us understand what this really means. I'm grateful to you, Samson, for joining us here. Now, you heard Mr. Ansari there, who believes their four MPs cannot be admitted back into the House because the court failed to give consequential orders. What's your own understanding of the judgment?
So could you, the purpose of the orders that are being spoken about are not for decoration. They are very important. In the terms of Article 2, Clause 2, it mandates the Supreme Court that when it makes a declaration, in the circumstances as we find ourselves, it may be necessary to make consequential orders. And the Constitution uses the words or the phrases to give effect to the declarations or to enable effect to be given to the declarations. So, with the greatest of respect to the Attorney General, this is not some unnecessary technicality that is being raised. And I think, you know, it is important to pay attention to it. However, even in the absence of these consequential orders, let me make this small narration. Though not constitutional matter, it may bring a certain appreciation. I accuse you, Brace, of being a trespasser onto my land and that you are occupying it unlawfully. I go to the court and I ask the court to make a declaration that you are a trespasser. If I don't ask for more, the court will say you are a trespasser. What next? So there is good reason and sound law that makes us, normally when we are asking for the release, we say there must be a declaration that you have breached the contract. We don't end it there. But after you have breached the contract, then we say there must be an order directed at you for damages for breach of contract so that we get damages.
Mm-hmm.
If it is like the land matter I spoke about, then we say there must be an order that you give vacant possession of the land so that if they call it the mandatory period of 7 days come to pass and you still have not acted because I can't execute the judgment against you until after 7 days. Mm. You have 7 days holiday, automatic. So after that, I have to go into execution. And if I only sought declaration and I didn't seek an order that I can ask the police to help me execute, I've come to nothing. Even though I may have a victory, it's a declarative victory. But I say that it should not be expected that after the Supreme Court has assumed jurisdiction, issue, but the majority have decided, so that's what we go by, that's the law. After it has assumed jurisdiction and made the declarations it has made, I expect that those gentlemen and ladies will go to Parliament if it is recalled, and no one is going to stop them. And I suspect that anyone who attempts to stop them will be acting in defiance of the Supreme Court's declarations. But again, you see that even when that happens, there will still appear to be a certain lacuna gap because of the absence of the consequential orders. Look, the law's purpose is to order society, is to ensure, you know, cohesion, is to ensure prosperity, is to ensure development orderly. So I think we have come to the understanding that whilst the pursuit of law may not be a resolution to this issue.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is a need to focus on, you know, the interest of the Ghanaian that has to be protected, because Parliament must work. And I really believe that to the extent that the Chief Justice herself acknowledged the other day that there was a constitutional crisis, there was the need subsequently upon the declarations to have made consequential orders. But you see, we can have a debate. You don't have time for it. Because it could be, well be, that you see that even the majority dissenting, they were at pains to explain that they have to be restrained. The judiciary has to be restrained in entering into matters of politics, which are left in the domain for politics to resolve. And so it's also possible that they didn't make those consequential orders because they didn't want to appear to be, as it were, ordering the speaker to do something or not to do something. Because the issue again comes up about whether the right of the plaintiff, there was a course of action that had approved for enforcement, because he took the suit 2 days before the speaker took the action. So there are a bit, you know, a number of things that you find in there. Okay. I don't want to say much because I want to be able to listen to, you know, other senior lawyers, perhaps with superior legal wisdom on my show tomorrow. Forgive me.
So is it a case that because the plaintiff did not ask for setting orders, that's why the Supreme Court abstained from doing that, or because they don't want to be seen to be meddling in the affairs of Parliament, so to speak?
I got into the realm of speculation in saying that perhaps that could have been the point. But I also find a certain practical legal restraint. If you look at when the suit was taken, and when we say in law, properly so called, that there has been a course of action that has accrued for the enforcement. So presently, as we know it, if you go through the judgment, you will see that there is no order directed at the speaker, who is the first defendant. There is no order directed at Parliament. In fact, the provisional orders that were made, the stay of execution of the ruling, there was a direct order staying the hand of Parliament from implementing the declaration. But as Thaddeus Sory has explained, and that is trite law, because the judgment has come, those orders are spent. So they are no more in effect. You know, it would have been expected that there would have been something that mimics that, you know, class of orders fashion around that to help make things smoother. But like I said, look, I think where we have gotten to, you know, this legalistic approach, we know it's obviously not taking anybody anywhere.
Okay.
Because it doesn't appear to resolve the problem. And the problem is, if Parliament is recalled today, will the one group be able to marshal the numbers needed to be able to do business? That for me is the most important question.
Okay.
But and you don't resolve that with, you know, this suit. At the least, if you check, if we have to stick to legality and maybe Parliament is requisitioned again, the latest Parliament may have to, the Speaker may have to issue the recall notice. Maybe and for Parliament to resume, maybe sometime in the first week of December. You know, look at it. It's not going to happen. So the legalistic approach must give way to national interest, to the welfare of the people. The law's purpose is welfare of society.
But that doesn't the order, because the judgment says an order declaring the interpretation placed on Article 97(1)(g) and H as inconsistent with the true meaning and import of Article 97(1)(g) and H of the 1992 Constitution. Do I still have Lawyer Samson Ladeh?
It's a declaration. As you can see, when you read through it, it's a declaration. I completely disagree with those who seem to want to suggest that the orders being spoken about in the nature as prescribed in Article 2 of the 2(2) of the Constitution, that there is anything like that in this judgment. There is not. With the greatest respect to all those who have spoken. So I agree with people like Kwame Akufo, Thaddeus Sory, Kuku Ansansari, that if we are looking at the pure law, setting as we know it, and not left to a political, you know, football, there is no other, so to speak.
Oh, okay. But because I was thinking let me quote it verbatim. It says, an order declaring that interpretation placed on Article 97(1)(g) and H are inconsistent with the true meaning and import of Article 97(1)(g) and H of the 1990 Constitution. It doesn't cure that. It doesn't cure the information the speaker gave on that fateful day.
We must be reading the distinction. The majority, in their own words, said all they were doing was to interpret. So you can tell that is what, you know, they have done and restrained them from going beyond interpretation and making the declarations that you know, were sought. So if you look at it, I'm sorry, but you can actually read the judgment itself, and you will find that this is clearly unambiguously stated. For example, where do I refer? Say the suit essentially hinges on a pure question of law, especially the proper construction of Articles 97(1)(g) and H to establish the legal threshold for triggering its provisions. Without delving into factual disputes regarding seat vacation in Parliament, which properly lies within the High Court's purview under Article 99 of the Constitution. Accordingly, to the extent that the exclusive preserve to settle a matter of interpretation under Article 2, Clause 1, and Article 130, Clause 1 and 2, lies with the Supreme Court, it is incumbent on this Court to exercise jurisdiction and resolve the interpretation for the application of the High Court.
Okay.
Yeah. And, and they said this is what they have done pursuant to ex parte Zenato Rawlings.
Interesting. Grateful to you. Let me bring in Roxanne Nelson Eche Dafiamapo. He's a lawyer and also MP for South Dai. I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Does this put the matters in Parliament to rest?
Not at all. It's created more confusing. And if you may, as you may be aware, I'm before the High Court regarding this matter. Now, the in my view, in my humble view, what the Supreme Court ought to have done was to have remitted this matter to the High Court for determination. Why? Because the question that had been brought before them was in respect of whether or not the speaker has the constitutional mandate to make the declaration that he made.
No, they were called upon to interpret that the Article 97(1)(g) and H, and that's what they said they sought to
Article
do.
But Article 99 of the Constitution says that the question whether or not a member of Parliament has vacated the seat lies in the domain of the High Court. So how does the Supreme Court interpret a provision regarding Article 97, which is about incidents of a vacation of a seat by a member of Parliament without making a definitive pronouncement? Now, under Article 97, which is sui generis with Article 95, the assister provisions, 95 speaks about a speaker vacating his office. If, for instance, he becomes a minister of state or a deputy minister of state, if, for instance, he does A, B, C, D, they are listed. Now, if you go to 97 talks about similar things in respect of a member of parliament. 95 is about the speaker. The circumstances under which the speaker will vacate his office. 97 is about the circumstances under which a member will vacate his seat. The evidence has been brought to bear that these four members of parliament have done A, B, C, D. Events which will have to necessitate their vacation of seat. Now, the onus is on the member of parliament to vacate his seat. Suo moto. It is when the member decides not to vacate the seat that a certain pronouncement must be made. And that was what was brought to the attention of the speaker, and the speaker pronounced that by these various conducts, you have vacated your seat. Then the Supreme Court says, I have to interpret whether or not speaker can make that pronouncement. So, for instance, today, when a member of parliament dies, it is the speaker that must inform the electoral commission about the vacancy of seat. How is the speaker going to do that going forward? If the Supreme Court says that he hasn't got the mandate, the constitutional mandate, to make that pronouncement in the chamber. It is that ridiculous. If a member resigns under his signature, how is that information to be communicated to the House? They say the speaker cannot do so.
You disagree with the court when it says a purposive interpretation of Article 97(1)(g) and H of the Constitution confirms that their focus is on safeguarding the electoral mandate during the current parliamentary term, not on restricting MPs' political activities in the next electoral cycle. You disagree with them when they make that point?
I disagree with them because then they have failed to read the Constitution as a whole. The Constitution makes provision for the fact that anytime you enter the 90-day window, when a member of parliament dies, for instance, he cannot be replaced. When he resigns from office, he cannot be replaced. So if a member of parliament dies, he cannot be replaced. What happens to the representative doctrine that...
But these ones are alive. These ones are alive. They are not dead.
So it is those incidents. They are similar circumstances under 97. So 97 must be read as a whole. Once you enter the 90-day period, when you conduct yourself in a manner that will lead to a vacation of seat pursuant to 97.1, any of the incidents, you cannot be replaced.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court cannot be arguing that because they cannot be replaced, they must necessarily be maintained, even though they have engaged in that conduct.
So if Speaker reconvenes the House today or recalls the House today, will you still maintain the struggle over the certain positions?
It is not about struggle. NDC will sit where we have to sit.
Which is where?
I don't know. I'm not in leadership, but NDC will sit where we have to sit. That's all we've been saying.
No, okay. You guys should do better.
Samson, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I was telling Dr. Amapo, my very good friend. He was president of the Young Lawyers Forum, and I was his vice president. We were the initiator, the executive that started the Young Lawyers Forum. And Roxanne, I think that we are at a point where we must shelve, you know, the legalistic approach and the extreme partisanship. We must come to a point where we all agree that the suit does not appear to resolve the matter before Parliament now. Even though a pronouncement has been made clearly, and that becomes the law, that a member of Parliament in that particular Parliament, when they decide that they do not belong to their party anymore, for as long as they don't change their place within that Parliament, they will remain. And they will not be kicked out, you know. So that will guide us until it changes. So I think that, you know, calm heads, cool heads must prevail, and something must immediately happen. Because as I've done my calculation, if we're going to stick to legalism, it does appear that the earliest time when Parliament may sit will be the first week in December. First week, for example, we have the special voting that will be going on, who's going to go to Parliament, okay? And then it's 7th December, who's going to... So it does look like, look, if we don't reduce the insistence on law, and right, then nothing is going to come out of this. Okay. And Grace, I'll also... I'll be remiss if I don't mention this, that, look, I have known this settled law that in a situation where the Supreme Court has been giving like a concurrent jurisdiction in a matter with any other court, the initiation of a suit must go to that other court, not the Supreme Court.
Okay.
So we can have debates over all of this. The Attorney General's language, I heard, you know, calling...
I was going to ask you for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Your thought on that. I mean, this is the leader of the bar who is taking on the judge in this manner. As a member of the bar, what do you make of it?
He has had cause to urge us not to use language, you know, that appears to disparage the judges and the judiciary. And so he's the last person I expect to be using the kind of language I hear him use. Not too long ago, he was at a forum where he sought to say that lawyers who even give views, you know, who make their own interpretations and views of the law, which don't seem to be consistent with what we know, must be punished, you know. And so the least I expect from him, it's to hear this kind of language where you endorse the majority view and you are commending of them, you are praising of them, and at the same time you say that the claim that the judiciary is biased and doing the executive bidding is overcome by the fact that you have two justices who have dissented. And yet, look at how he attacks them and the kind of language he uses. I think he can tone down on that, and he should not be heard to be doing that. It's wrong.
Samson, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Definitely, I don't know if you want to have a word on this one.
Yes. First of all, Samson makes the point which will eschew the partisanship in Parliament. Parliament is about partisanship.
No, he's talking about how we can move on from here.
No, let me make the point. Parliament, it's all about partisanship. It's about politics. We are not a church. So when Afenyo went to court and swore to an affidavit and said that my party, the NPP party, has become a minority and that my government will become unpopular in an election year and that the economy will become ungovernable because the new majority in parliament will conduct a lot of parliamentary inquiry into a lot of deals, that is about politics. It wasn't talking about the interests of the nation. He was talking about how his group has lost power in parliament. So when we are debating this matter, we must always focus on Afenyo Markin's ex parte application before the court, affidavit in support.
But his call is about how we can move on as one unit to ensure that...
So you see, when NDC insists on maintaining its power in parliament, it is because that is what Afenyo went to court to say, that he has lost the power.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.